Hello, and welcome to the Champaign County Executive Candidate Forum, a production of Illinois Public Media in partnership with the League of Women Voters of Champaign County and the NAACP of Champaign County. I'm Arjun Tucker, Senior Editor for IPM News and your moderator for today's forum. The Champaign County Executive manages administrative issues in county government, including the county budget, presiding over county board meetings, and representing Champaign County to advocate for its interests at the state, regional, and federal levels. There are two candidates running in the Democratic primary for Champaign County Executive in Illinois' March 17th primary election. They are Sanford Hess and Michelle Jett, who we have here in the studio with us today. There are no Republicans running for the position. Before we have our candidates introduce themselves, I'll take a moment to establish the ground rules for today's discussion. Candidates will have 2 minutes for their opening remarks, up to 2 minutes to answer each question, and 2 minutes for their closing remarks. This is a candidate forum and not a debate, so each candidate will receive two opportunities for a rebuttal where they may take up to 30 seconds to respond to what their opponent has said. With that being said, we'll now move on to our candidate introductions and questions for today. We'll begin with the candidate who is first in alphabetical order by last name, so we will start with Sanford Hess.
My name is Sanford Hess. Let me tell you who I am and why I'm running for county executive. My day job is that I'm a government consultant. I have my own business, and I've been working with government IT solutions for 33 years. I'm a specialist in finance and payroll systems. And for 10 years, I served the city of Urbana as their IT manager. I'm running to contribute my knowledge and expertise to my adopted hometown. My wife and I have lived here for 18 years, and we've raised a family here. I've been a business owner of Champaign's Art Theater, a scout leader. I've served on numerous boards. And last year, I was elected as a trustee for Champaign Township. I'm running because I don't like the actions of the executive office. Originally, this was a reaction to the federal level. However, as I've learned more about the county operations, I'm concerned here too. Our current county executive and my opponent, the director of administration, have only operated during a time of pandemic stimulus money. They've increased spending and staff, but don't have a plan to continue services when the money runs out this year. As a division head at our city of Urbana, I cut budgets to help solve their financial problems after the 2008 recession. I know how to make government effective without new spending. I will bring to Champaign County the transparency that we deserve, and I will collaborate to make good decisions for county government with all of its elected officials and employees. Champaign County is a wonderful community. I want to deliver the effective, transparent government that we deserve. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hess. Michelle Jett, your opening remarks.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Michelle Jett, and I'm running for Champaign County Executive because I care about my community, and I'm really concerned about the hatred and destruction coming from our federal government, and I want to do my part to protect my community. I want the county to take an active role in improving the quality of life of our residents and ensuring that our county services are provided to the best quality that we can. I'm currently the Director of Administration in the County Executive's Office. I've been there for 3 years. I have 6 years of total county experience, 4 years of state government experience, and I'm working on my master's degree in local government administration. Before the County Executive's Office, I was in the County Clerk's Office, where I led the effort to adapt the voting process during the COVID lockdown. We were able to ensure voter access during a presidential election cycle, so very proud of that. As my role of Director of Administration, I've also had the opportunity to serve as the Interim Budget Director and the Interim Facilities Director. I am very familiar with all of the procedures, policies, and challenges that the county has. With current County Executive Steve Summers, we're managing $20 million of ARPA investments into infrastructure, public health, and recovery. We've created a full-time grants coordinator position that brings in outside funds for county services. We relocated 10 county offices into the new Bennett Administrative Center with little disruption of public service. And we are continuing to increase the county's use of green energy by adding solar to a couple of facilities this summer. As county executive, I want to keep this momentum going. And most importantly, I want to make sure, again, what's happening on the federal level doesn't come here, and that we are actively contributing to improving the quality of life for our residents. Thank you.
We'll move on to our first question. What do you see as Champaign County's greatest challenges, and how would you work to address them? Ms. Jett, I'll start with you.
Great, thank you. Yeah, this is a really common question. I think our biggest challenge is actually an opportunity and a benefit, and that's our growing population. We're one of the few counties in the state that is growing. We just continue to have more people moving here, coming here for school and staying because it's just a wonderful place to be. And I fully agree with that. I'm a hometown girl, so I obviously chose not to leave. And so what that does for the county is there's more people accessing county services, but there's not necessarily an equal translation in increase in funding for those services. So the county is in a position of having to do more without more funding. And how we navigate that is continually an issue. It has been since the late 90s when PTEL was implemented. But as we move forward, it's just going to become a more and more pressing issue. And I think that we, as the county executive and the county board, need to really start collaborating and coming up with new ways and new ideas. I think we're on the right path. If anyone's not aware, there are 3 non-binding advisory referendum questions on the ballot this March 17th. Because the county board wants to know the input of the voters when it comes to these financial decisions. What are your priorities? What are you interested in? They want your feedback. They would love for you to come to a county board meeting and talk with them directly. But I would at minimum encourage everyone to please go vote on these non-binding advisory questions so that we do know going forward what is the direction of the people.
Thank you, Ms. Jett. Same question to you, Mr. Hess.
The challenges faced by the county have been laid out by the county board, who tells us that we have a structural fiscal deficit. And to their credit, they have begun the budgeting process early this year to address that. What they have not done is considered to look at in detail the spending and where to cut. The non-binding questions on the ballot on March 17th are asking primarily for a decision between raising taxes and cutting spending, but there's no details about what options or what services or personnel would be cut. Another issue that we have facing our county is our employees. Our employees are wonderful, but we are part of a national trend of retiring public sector employees and having a harder time attracting new employees into coming to public service. This is a problem that impacts us for the long term because the knowledge that's leaving is long-term knowledge, and we need to build up that next level of leadership in our employees. So we should be focusing on employee development and making sure that people have a career path in staying with the county government. One of my goals for this office is to return our focus on our employees and our spending to make sure that before we go to the voters to ask to raise taxes, that we're taking care of our own house and doing everything we can to balance our own books before we go and ask for more money on a referendum. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hess. Next question. What do you support about the current direction of Champaign County's government, and what would you change? Mr. Hess, I will start with you.
There's a lot to support about the direction that Champaign County is taking. And I agree with my opponent that one of the things that's going on right now is that this county is growing, which does put us in an exceptional place versus some of our surrounding communities. Where we have some good decisions recently was in terms of creating an HR department, which did not exist previously, and in bringing the idea of some reorganizations to our structure of how we do things. For example, recently, the county executive office brought an idea to restructure the facilities, which was separately a department and now has been brought under the county executive's office. There are good ideas in terms of bringing a better balance to positions. The problem is that the way the county executive has brought these forward, it's in a rushed process where not enough time was taken to listen to feedback from employees, to take an input of how the fiscal realities impact adding positions in the facilities group, and to make sure that these are smooth transitions and that we're not disruptive to current operations. So there are good ideas on the table, but my problem is the process by which they're brought forward to the county board. I don't think that there's enough discussion and decision-making with the larger group of people, particularly the employees, before these decisions are pushed through. And so one of the things that I would institute as part of the county executive is to spend more time getting and gathering feedback from the employees and the people who are impacted by these decisions before they're brought forward to the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hess. Ms. Jett?
Could you read the question again?
Of course. What do you support about the current direction of Champaign County's government, and what would you change?
Sure. Okay. So obviously I'm a little biased as I'm currently in the office and am working closely with the current county executive. I think I will take the opportunity to do a little bit of correction here. So first of all, the facilities department has always been a part of the county executive's office. That is not new. That was the structure when it was a county administrator. It was the structure when it was a county executive. So that was not a change. The conversation about the structure of the facilities department within the county executive's office is a conversation that's been going on since last July. It included staff, it included board members, it happened at multiple committee meetings. So it was a very public, it was a very transparent, it was a very open process. But I think that's an example of how we are moving forward in the right direction. We are looking at what's always been, we're evaluating it, we're getting input, we're seeing what we can improve, how can we adjust things. That particular structure change eliminated a six-figure salary leadership position that just didn't seem to be necessary, and that money is now available for frontline workers, which we're very proud of. But as we had talked earlier, our continued challenge going forward is going to be the demand on our services is always growing, and we do not have the revenue to keep pace with that. And that is going to take collaboration between all of the countywide elected officials and the county board to figure that out. And most importantly, again, it's going to take input from the residents as to what they consider the priorities to be. And this is really a crucial time in our county where we need people engaging with their county board members and telling us what's important to them.
Thank you, Ms. Jett. Mm-hmm. We received this question from members of the League of Women Voters. Our region is experiencing historically high housing costs for both home buyers and renters. What pro-housing policies would you support to ensure everyone has a safe and affordable place to live? I'll start with you, Ms. Jett.
Thank you. So first, I think we need to talk just a little parameter. The county board has governance over unincorporated property in the county. So when we're talking about cities, towns, villages, they do not have the ability to implement anything there. And so I always just want to make sure we're all on the same page when having that conversation. However, the county can absolutely be a leader in policy and zoning and permitting and all of those things. We can be working with low-income, affordable housing developers to bring housing built into unincorporated areas of the county. We can be working with our towns and villages to support them if they have an interest in doing that kind of work. There's a lot of structural support the county can be providing to them in terms of figuring out those financing options, navigating that process to build something. I think we think often about housing in Champaign-Urbana, but we absolutely need low-income housing outside of Champaign-Urbana in our smaller towns and villages, and those entities might not have the administrative capacity to move those kinds of projects forward. And I'd love to see the county be building a partnership where we can help them with that piece. So I think that for the most part, the county's role is going to be to lead by example with the understanding that these are ordinances, policies, permitting requirements that apply to unincorporated land, and partnering with our smaller municipalities, towns, and villages to help them build up their low-income housing in their areas.
Thank you, Ms. Jett. Mr. Hess?
I'm going to echo one part of my my peers' answer here, which is that the county does have a limited role in some of these zoning and housing issues. And I think that the best role for the county is to work with the network of providers that we have in this community. One of the roles that the county can have in this process is working with the nonprofits and other entities of, governmental entities that are in the area to actually help coordinate and deliver services on a broader level. So the Champaign County Housing Authority or some of our nonprofits who are working in this field are ones that the county can coordinate through. It is a limitation of the county's abilities to address specific zoning and housing issues within, say, the city of Urbana or the city of Champaign or the village of Mohammed or the village of Rantoul. But there are broad discussions that can be had where the county can bring people together to have these discussions around the table to make sure that the municipalities, the villages, and the unincorporated areas are all working on the same page to address some of these issues. One of the challenges that we face about housing is that, as with across the country, this is a larger issue in terms of people consolidating into smaller areas of living. And here, especially in the core center of Champaign and Urbana with the university, we have that kind of concentration going on. So it is a planning, it's a long-term effort. There are no easy solutions to some of these problems, but we need to be looking ahead 5, 10, 15 years down the road, and the county can bring that kind of coordinated vision together to help address our housing crisis that is going on here locally as well as across the nation.
Thank you, Mr. Hess. I want to turn briefly to immigration enforcement, which is directed from the federal level but touches down in local communities. A county board member said he wants Champaign County to be prohibited from hiring individuals who have served as agents for immigration and customs enforcement under the Trump administration. Mr. Hess, this one is for you first. Would you support that approach, and how do you think the county should respond or react to federal immigration enforcement operations?
As with so much else in government, things are more complicated than they seem. So making a statement that says we should never hire anybody who has worked for immigration and customs enforcement is too simple of an answer. What about somebody who worked in an office position? What about somebody who served in the past but has not been part of the federal enforcements that we're seeing going on right now? There are gray areas in these situations that I think a simplistic statement like that would not be enough to address the problem. Now, in terms of working with federal enforcement, there are limitations to what we can do to prohibit the activity here, but we should be having discussions and doing everything that we can to make sure that our community feels safe. Now, there are discussions that have gone on recently, and the county executive proposed in October that they would bring to the board a statement about not using county facilities to stage immigration enforcement. Unfortunately, that did not come forward. And I believe that one of the reasons for that is because the county acknowledged and understood that there are limitations to what we can do. It is important that our community feels protected. And the best use of the county in this process is to work through our existing entities, such as the Mental Health Board, which does have relationships with the Refugee Center and other immigration services groups in town, which we can work through the community there to provide the services that we can deliver. So it's important for the county executive then to support the Mental Health Board. And that's what the county executive's role is, to provide the payroll, the finance, the IT, the administrative, the facilities services for the Mental Health Board so that they can do the important work that they're doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hess. Same question to you, Ms. Jett.
Thank you. I'm going to start by saying that, speaking for myself and for County Executive Summers, we believe that what Trump is doing with ICE is nothing short of domestic terrorism. And it is completely unacceptable. It is based in racism, hatred, and propaganda. We do have a county executive order coming out by the end of the week regarding the county's stance on this issue. It's coming from the county executive's office, so it speaks only for the county executive. It's how the order works. But that will be out by the end of this week. We've been working closely with our local immigrant groups to make sure that we are considering their safety, their priorities, and their input on what that executive order looks like. So it may have taken a little bit longer than we anticipated, but we're very happy with that collaboration, and it's essential to getting this correct. I will also add the county executive does support mental health board. We provide all of those things. They're in the Bennett Center. We provide their maintenance. We process their payroll. We provide their IT. So we are fully committed to the Mental Health Board and supporting its efforts and its initiative going forward. And if I have the opportunity to be county executive, I would continue along the vein of the executive order, which is ICE is not welcome here. And this county executive office would be doing everything we can to support and protect our immigrant friends and neighbors.
Thank you. For our next question, concerns about data centers have emerged in the county recently. Data centers, of course, house computers and servers used to transmit and store large quantities of data. They require large amounts of electricity to run them, and their use is growing to support artificial intelligence technologies. Champaign County appears poised to create a data center task force and potentially implement a one-year moratorium on new large-scale data centers. Ms. Jett, I'll start with you for this question. As county executive, what would you see as the future of data centers in the county?
Yeah, exactly. All of that of what you said. And I hear that a lot when I talk to residents in the county, which is actually what prompted me to move the resolution forward for the task force, because this is going too fast and we need to slow down. And I absolutely believe we need extensive public input on if we were to have data centers in Champaign County, what would that look like and how would that be responsible? And there are so many questions and pieces to think through on that. So I'm very excited about the task force. I'm excited about the groups that we have listed who seem to be very willing to participate. From the public response of their interest and engagement on it has been wonderful. I think that Champaign County has more responsibility on this than most other counties because we have so much of the Mahomet Aquifer in our county. And as we all know, protecting the aquifer, I think, is the item that unifies everyone in this county. It is our sole source of drinking water. We absolutely have to maintain its integrity, make sure that it is being used for appropriate reasons. And I understand everyone's very immediate concern when we start talking about data centers and what that would mean for the aquifer, what that would mean for our utility costs, what that would mean for our farmland. So I think that the task force is going to provide some very useful and significant input, and I'm looking forward to continuing to work with the county board to draft the type of permitting or permanent moratorium. I'm not sure which one it's going to be, honestly. It's going to be dictated, I think, by the response that we get from the residents, as it should be, as to how they feel about data centers being in Champaign County.
Thank you, Ms. Jett. Same question to you, Mr. Hess.
This is a situation where the county has successfully slowed down the discussion and given ourselves time to think, which is the right way to approach decisions like this. The data center task force will have a difficult decision, and it's important that they balance all of the discussions here. One part of this is that the University of Illinois is a very attractive research base that's going to bring entities here that want to do data center work. So we have to make sure that we're thinking long term about the growth of our community, as well as protecting the important the environmental parts of the Mahomet Aquifer, our energy use, the use of our farmland. These are all factors that the task force will be considering. It will be important for that analysis to be clear, to provide financial numbers. It is something that is worth considering is that there are revenues coming in from data center use. So the permitting and the licensing of these data centers does create some revenue that can be used to provide some of those services that my opponent wishes to deliver. Now, at the same time, it's important that we consider the bigger picture, their use of water, their use of recirculated water, or their use of water that is not recirculated, their use of energy, and their respect for the residents who are nearby to their locations. These are all factors that need to be considered, but honestly, that is the process of government. It's important for government to hear and listen to all of the different voices to make sure that when we're making decisions in the best long-term interest of our community. So the task force is the right way to approach this issue, and I also look forward to hearing what they have the suggestions for. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hess. Utility bills have been on the rise in Champaign County and across the state. Is there anything you would do as county executive to combat rising electricity and utility costs? And I'll start with you, Mr. Hess.
Sure. Utility bills are a problem across the country. This is not unique to our community. And it's an issue across every component of the state and across our country and really across the world these days. There are many factors that are driving utility bills up that are beyond our control. There are some things that we can do that are under our control. One of them has to do with licensing of wind turbines, more often called wind farms, and solar arrays. Now, what has occurred so far has been a process of applicants for, say, a solar array going through, and many of these are in the county because we're talking about things that are placed in the unincorporated areas of Champaign County. The county has an important role in helping locate these in an appropriate location that maximizes the impact on, or minimizes the negative impact and maximizes the positive impact in terms of where they're located. So far, the county has helped on a case-by-case basis to place these, but there are some discrepancies between the rules that the county has passed and the state. And ultimately, the threat that we're under, which we learned from a recent case near Mahomet, is that should a developer push this far enough, we would be taken to court and our rules locally here in the county would not stand up against state rules. So I think it's important that we be proactive to address that so that we're not pushed into a corner in our discussions and so that we're not taken to court to spend costs, time, fighting a lawsuit that we may ultimately lose. So those are some things that the county can do, but at the end of the day, this is an issue that is across the nation and really across the world that is impacting us as well.
Thank you, Mr. Hess. Ms. Chet?
So the county participates in a electric aggregate purchasing program, and it applies to all residents in the county. So it is an opt-out, and every year we send out a letter. Actually, it's probably going to go out pretty soon. I think it usually goes out in the spring, and we get a lot of phone calls about it. And I would really encourage residents to, if they have concerns, to do their research and to not opt out of the program. What the program provides is utility rate stability. So as opposed to being subjected to the market ups and downs in your Ameren bill, the electrical aggregate program guarantees you a set price for the year. It's the price that we are able to negotiate through our larger buying power as the entire county. We've got other municipalities and villages that participate in the program with us. But at a minimum, it provides the homeowners with a stable bill that they know they, or a stable cost that they know they can count on for their utility cost. So that would be one thing that I would just continue to encourage people. Please don't immediately just opt out of it. Do your research, take a look into it, and I would strongly suggest that you stay in that program because it is beneficial, especially if we're going to be talking about utility costs becoming more and more market-based and increasing and decreasing on a whim. The other thing that we're working on is we have started introducing more green energy for county facilities. We'll be doing two solar projects for county buildings this summer. I'm considering those to be a bit of a test run for us in getting a better understanding of solar. And I would like to move forward with our next major project being a community solar option where we can use funding and rebate programs to build a solar array that would community members would have access to at a lower cost.
Thank you, Ms. Jett. This question comes from a member of the League of Women Voters. Much of the county's work may not be widely known to residents, and it can be difficult for community members to parse through agendas or meeting minutes to understand county business. How would you work to increase awareness and civic engagement with the work being done at the county level? Ms. Jett, you first.
Yes. Yeah, that is exactly true. And I think part of it is because the county does so much. The county does a lot. We have 8 countywide elected officials, each with their own specialties and their own areas. They all are very committed public servants who work very hard and within their own offices are doing an immense amount of work with their staff. So I can't imagine trying to be a resident, you know, with kids and a job and all those things and trying to keep up with what county government is doing. Absolutely. I think that for one thing, I really appreciate the collaboration that the county executive's office has with the majority of our county board members. And I would be looking for ways to make that more accessible for residents to understand. So hosting events in districts where people already are gathering, where they already have meetings, where they're just already at. It's not appropriate to just have an event and invite people to it. I feel like elected officials need to go to where the people are. So I would be looking to do that with our county board members in as many districts as possible. I've also committed that as county executive, I would be on my own going out at least 5 to 6 times a year, again, to these events to talk about what the county government is doing, to talk about what the executive's office is doing, not only to provide education, but also to get feedback. It's where the best ideas come from. It's where we hear where the concerns are, what is working for people, what's not working for people. But at the end of the day, it's on the public official to figure out how to do the more direct contact with the residents. And that's a commitment I'm prepared to make.
Thank you, Ms. Jett. Same question to you, Mr. Hess.
I am a resident at this point who has followed county information. And in fact, one of my bigger concerns has been the lack of transparency through the current county executive's office. My opponent talks about the desire to get out and talk to community members about some of these initiatives, but we haven't seen that from the office over the last 3.5 years. What we've seen instead is that in 2024, when there was a referendum to increase the PSST, which is the public safety sales tax, hard for me to say, there was an initiative that spent advertising money to encourage people to vote yes on this, but there was a lack of forums, as my opponent has proposed, to actually convey that information to the voters. So I think that the best method is the type of outreach that my opponent described, but we have not seen that from the county executive's office till now. I witnessed that kind of outreach when I worked at the city of Urbana. The city of Urbana did an outstanding job in community forums regarding police activity and public safety, the use of Lincoln Square Mall, and including more of the community with outreach, direct events, online events, reaching people through multiple different streams. Not everybody has the free time to go to a community meeting. Sometimes it requires Zoom meetings in addition to live meetings or ways for people to provide input in a non-real-time way. So it's important for the county executive to reach everybody through the different modes of communication. And I have the experience from that, and I will work hard to do that during my time as county executive. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hess.
Can I rebut on that?
Yes, of course. Go ahead.
So the public safety sales tax referendum in 2024 did include a forum. It actually included a League of Women Voters forum. We did it at the Champaign Public Library. It was live streamed and posted on the website. It was, I think, almost 1.5 hours long. We had amazing engagement from the people who came and had questions. The county board has had multiple study sessions that are live streamed and posted on the website. And the education effort around that, the public safety sales tax, was also included individual meetings between the executive and board members with residents as much as possible. So,
thank you, Ms. Jett. We'll move on to our next question. Champaign County is one of 2 Illinois counties that elects a county executive instead of appointing an administrator. Mr. Hess, your campaign supports going to the voters in the future to ask them with a ballot question if the elected position should be eliminated. Can you explain why you think that's necessary?
I am in favor of eliminating the fact that this position is elected. When this position was created through a referendum in 2016. It was proposed by a smaller group of people who were trying to push through a structure without thinking through the long-term impacts. What we've wound up with is a politicization of the office that should be just supporting the administrative functions of the county government. The very fact that we're running for office is an example of that. During the last 9 months as I've been running for office, I've learned how incredibly discriminatory running for office truly is. If you don't have access to a network of people who can provide you with money, if you don't have the free time to go and to become the candidate that you need to be, and if you don't have the physical ability to go door to door or to talk to people in different languages and to come together, you are going to be in a situation where you are simply not able to run for this office. I think that the way that there are two counties in Illinois that do this, but there's 102 counties. So the way that the vast majority of the counties perform the same function is by having an administrative office which just simply has a county administrator. That is a professional position that's hired through a normal job search process with resumes and peer groups of interviews to choose the best candidate. And that person is then responsible on a year-to-year basis, or even could be fired at will, as opposed to an elected official who we're going to be with for 4 years. So I just believe that the long-term interests of the county are better served with a professional in this position instead of a politician. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hess. Same question to you, Ms. Jett. Do you believe having an elected county executive is necessary, or would you support having an executive be appointed?
I think that what I've seen most starkly from the Trump presidency is the danger of having appointed people that we don't know enough about. And that this position was made an elected position by the voters very recently. It's only in its second term. And by making it an elected position, it forces the people who want to be in the position to tell the voters who they are and what they stand for and what they believe in, and provides a moral direction for the voters to understand who they're putting in this office and who would be leading these administrative efforts for the county, which have far-reaching implications. It's not all, you know, just kind of boring backroom administrative stuff. It's important things that set the tone and culture for the county, and the voters should determine who is doing that. And they should know what that person stands for. They should know how that person plans to lead. And they should know that before they cast their vote. So I think the position being elected is the right fit right now. I think the voters recently decided that. And I would not personally be putting effort into putting this question back on the ballot.
Thank you, Ms. Jett. This is another question from members of the League of Women Voters. Personal vehicles are the most common form of transportation used in the U.S., yet the cost of car ownership has risen significantly in the last 5 years, according to consumer watchdog groups. 30% of Americans don't drive often due to age, disability, or income, making it difficult for them to meet basic needs. What policies would you support to increase transportation equity, especially among those in rural areas and with disabilities? Ms. Jett? Mm-hmm.
Right. So just to be a bit of a broken record and go back to the county, what the county would be focusing on would be, again, outside of incorporated municipalities, towns, and villages. We'd be looking, again, very rural transportation. We are very lucky to have such a robust regional planning commission. And one of the programs within RPC is C-Carts, which is essentially a rural bus service. You call, you make an appointment, they pick you up, they take you where you need to go, they take you home, whatever that may be. And they focus on areas where there is not standard MTD public transportation access. So I think from the county's perspective, we have this infrastructure. It's in place. It works well. C-Carts is regularly busy. They recently just acquired some more vans from federal grant allocation. So if this is an issue that voters feel needs more attention and more time, I think from the county's perspective, we just invest more into our C-Carts program because it's already working and it's working well. So let's just expand what we have and what we know works.
Thank you, Ms. Jett. Same question to you, Mr. Hess.
The cost of car ownership is another one of these national issues that impacts us locally, but we are really, in this instance, no different from other communities. In terms of making the accessibility for transportation, it is supporting not only the rural transit, the C-Carts that Michelle just mentioned, but also supporting the MTD, which is the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District, which focuses on this inner area. It's important that we coordinate the services, and in fact, that we encourage flexibility. MTD has recently been experimenting with different size vehicles because in some cases, the larger buses are not needed. There are different options that are available for different situations. It's important for us to think long-term about these and not just think about continuing to put more of the same on the road, but think about where we will be in 10 years and 15 years and plan towards those things. It is also important, this is an additional component of the cost of cars, that we also think long-term about road maintenance. One of the challenges that we have, as well as the state of Illinois and across the country, is that electric vehicles do not use as much gas as petrol vehicles, the historic kind, and therefore our dollars that are available for road maintenance are going down. We need to plan for our long-term problems that we will have in terms of keeping our roads successfully available for either for personal vehicles or for the buses, which also require not just the roads, but actually especially reinforced roads. And it is important that we make sure that we're planning for the long-term in these areas. So I would like to see the county executive focusing more on some of these long-term plans and not just addressing the current day needs. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hess. This next question is also for you, Mr. Hess. What kind of relationships would you like to see Champaign County foster with various groups and organizations that it maintains relationships with, that includes the state of Illinois, University of Illinois, as well as its various municipalities and civic organizations?
I experienced this firsthand. When I was the head of IT for the city of Urbana, I worked extensively with the county government, and we partnered on several different solutions. One example of that being we were able to apply for and receive grants to purchase a new police system that is used countywide. We also supported countywide network and fiber initiatives when I was at the city of Urbana. So there's a lot of inter-entity cooperation that goes on. It's important that the county make use of its role in terms of being a central hub for the coordination of all the nonprofits, the different organizations in town, the municipalities. The county has that ability to bring people together, to bring people to the table, to think about these issues and to coordinate their efforts. It's an important role that the county can play, and I'd like to continue that when I'm county executive. Some examples of that would be the type of planning efforts that I'm talking about that we need to move beyond. There was a six-year plan that the county executive created in 2019, but there has not been a subsequent plan put in place. It's important for the county executive to lead, and one of the main functions of the county executive role is to be that proponent for Champaign County at the state, at the federal level, and bringing together people around the table. So I'd like to see more efforts in that role and more efforts thinking about the long-term vision for who the county is and who the county will be as we continue to grow and absorb. And finally, in terms of the university, I think we need to recognize that that is truly one of the main engines of growth of the county. And so supporting and extending that relationship and making sure that we are in an integrated planning effort is really an essential role for the county executive. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hess. Ms. Jett?
Thank you. So the county is intricately involved in, honestly, I think almost all social service and all planning in the county. Again, our very robust, very qualified Regional Planning Commission houses the homeless care continuum. They do extensive planning studies and reporting for other entities. They coordinate Head Start for multiple counties. So that's just one tiny sliver of how the county is already engaged significantly around the county. As the county executive's office, we also support the supervisor of assessments office, which does assessment support for all the towns and villages, and all the township assessors in the area. I think what the county's not good at is talking about all the ways that we support all of the things that are happening in the county, whether that's a social service, another municipality, a nonprofit effort. We just aren't good at talking about what we are already doing. And I would like to improve that as county executive. And there's always room for more collaboration. There's always room for more relationship building. I think we got a great start. A great increase with the American Rescue Plan Act money. We put, $20 million into community groups, everything from housing assistance to community violence, water infrastructure. We invested in so many projects throughout the county. And now the next step is working with those groups to make sure that we can help them to keep going after that ARPA allocation has expired. What are they doing next, and how can we be involved in that, and how can we help them with that?
Thank you, Ms. Jett. Next question. What concerns have you heard from county residents over the course of this campaign, and what would be your greatest priorities in serving the constituents you've heard from?
I hear about federal issues. Everyone's very concerned about the presidency and what he's, doing to Minneapolis, to Chicago, lingering Epstein case, and just the corruption and hatred that is coming from the White House is really the issues that I hear over and over from people, which goes back to my earlier question of why I think it's so important that this actually is an elected position right now, because I know as county executive, I would be working daily, diligently, as my priority, that what is happening on the federal level is not happening here, that we are preparing for it, that we're doing everything we can to mitigate it if it were to happen, that our residents feel like we're paying attention, we have a plan, we're ready to respond, they're a part of a community, they're welcome, they're wanted here, and what's happening on the federal level is just not going to permeate into Champaign County. Is, I think, honestly, my answer to that question. Yeah.
Thank you, Ms. Jett. Mr. Hess?
My opponent talked about the federal level, and I will agree with those concerns. But in addition to concerns about the federal level, I've also talked to residents who have concerns about here on a local level. The number one concern that people voice is taxes. Property taxes are high, sales taxes are high, and people are concerned about increasing taxes on top of what they're already paying. We've talked about housing affordability, we've talked about vehicle affordability, we've talked about energy affordability. The county cannot impact directly on some of those things, but taxes, property taxes, are something that the county does have a direct role on. One of my other concerns, which my opponent discussed, was the social services money that has been provided through the recovery money that was available after the COVID pandemic. That money is drying up, and my opponent has talked about preparing those social services providers for a time when the funding is not available through the county. That's a concern, and it's not something that I think people are aware of quite what the impact will be. There has been a substantial amount of money that has been passed through the county into those providers, and it's a wonderful thing, and that was the purpose of the stimulus money, was to get that money directly into the communities. What we're not seeing is enough planning about what that next stage is going to look like after that funding is gone, which ends this year in 2026. It's important to acknowledge that there are ways that we can protect our local community, and there are ways that we can communicate with people to explain what we're doing. I think it's important for the county executive to have that role in communication, to be out front and talking to people, and to be clear about what the county is doing. And those are some of the things that we have not seen over the last few years of the county executive's office. I'd like to change that. I'd like to communicate more, be more transparent, and provide people with information about their government.
Thank you, Mr. Hess.
Can I rebut on that?
Of course. Go ahead.
Just for education purposes, the Champaign County tax rate has dropped 8 of the last 10 years. The county is consistently taxing at a lower rate year over year and is not contributing to an increase in property taxes.
Okay, thank you. We have one last question from a League of Women Voters member who feels hyperpartisan debates regularly overshadow local issues such as protecting the Mahomet Aquifer, land use policies, our aging population, and housing and food insecurity. Yet the member says service needs of county residents vary, for example, between rural and urban areas. How would you work to build a stronger sense of mutual and countywide interests in matters of policy and budgeting? We'll start with you, Mr. Hess.
When I started running for this office, I knew that I was an outsider to the local Democratic Party. And what I've learned during the time is that we and our voices impact that hyperpartisanship. Now, here in Champaign County, we're actually dominated in terms of the voters and the politics of our region by Democrats. So we are two Democrats running for the position where, as you mentioned, there's no Republicans running. It's important that we then consider, in terms of the hyperpartisanship, we need to make sure that we are talking about our local issues and that we are not running against the federal government here for county executive. We're running to make a difference here locally, because ultimately this job is a working job. This job is about showing up at the office every single day and making sure that we, as the county executive and our office, are delivering the services, sometimes really focused more on delivering those services to the other countywide elected officials and to the units that that make use of the services that we deliver. That is where my focus will be as county executive. I am not going to be somebody who is running against the federal government in terms of why I'm doing certain things. I'm focused entirely here on local issues, and I'm here to listen to everybody at the table. I'm here to listen to Republicans. I'm here to listen to Democrats. I'm here to listen to independents, the city community, the municipal community, the rural community. It's important that all of those voices are listened. I'm not a hyperpartisan person. Like I said, when I started running, I was outside of the local Democratic elite. But I think that makes it a good thing. People are more willing to have those conversations because they know that I am simply a resident who cares, who wants to bring my skills to the table as the county executive. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hess. Ms. Jett?
I think the media and social media can portray something that doesn't necessarily reflect what day-to-day work life is like for local government. There is constant communication, collaboration. You don't ask someone what their party is when they want to have a meeting or they want to talk about a project. You just start working with them on the issue. So I think from a local level, we have an immense amount of collaboration and partnership already happening. And the executive's office is often right in the middle of it, either, you know, making connections or providing administrative support, talking through ideas, whatever that may be. So I think from a local perspective, we're very blessed in that sense. I can't really say that I can think of any other local elected official that, you know, I couldn't pick up the phone and have a conversation with, whether or not we agreed on, you know, larger issues, whatever the task is that we're trying to get done. We have a working relationship in that sense. But I also will say that I'm very clear on what my morals are, and I'm not going to compromise on those. I'm happy to work with anyone that wants to be collaborative, but I'm not going to change, again, what I believe in and how I believe we should treat people and what I believe government should be providing for residents because of who I'm working with.
Thank you, Ms. Jett, and thank you both. We're approaching the end of our forum. I want to now turn to and give you the opportunity to share your closing statement. So each of you will have 2 minutes to share your closing remarks. Since we started today with you, Mr. Hess, we'll start with you, Ms. Jett, for your closing statement.
Thank you. I want to, of course, just thank everyone that spent the time to put this together, the League of Women Voters, NAACP, Illinois Public Media. I see the staff through the glass. So everyone who spent their Tuesday morning here with us, I really appreciate these kinds of efforts to make sure that our local democracy has a voice and the voters have access to it and they know who's running and they have an opportunity to hear from them because there's only so many daylight hours and only so many doors that as a candidate you can knock to get to the voters. So I really appreciate everyone's effort. I think I've made myself pretty clear on what I stand for in this conversation. I am a Democrat. I will operate as a Democrat. I believe that our priorities are making sure that we are improving the quality of life for the residents in Champaign County. And as executive, that's what my goals would be for the county executive's office. I do not want what's happening on the federal level to come here. And I also want to make sure that as a county, we're moving forward on the things that we as residents identify as important and value to us. And I would be doing that with feedback and direction from our residents as we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jett. And to you, Mr. Hess, for your closing statement.
I would like to start also by thanking Illinois Public Media, the League of Women Voters of Champaign County, and the NAACP for this forum. Also, let's stop and appreciate, you heard two candidates today. As a fan of good government, let's appreciate that we have choices on our ballot. This is an important component of democracy, is that we have the ability to have these forums and to have these discussions about real issues. So I'd just like to applaud the very fact that we have two candidates and an opportunity to have these discussions and applaud everybody who's involved in making them come true. My opponent said that you need to understand the candidate who's running, who they are and what they believe in. I will state I am a lifelong Democrat. I'm a Democrat because I think that Democrats have better ideas on these issues than Republicans. I was inspired to run for office by my disgust at how the federal government is being run under the Trump administration. And yet, I am not running against the Trump administration. I was inspired to run because I wanted to do more. I wanted to help out my own community. I've spent a career working with government administration. My skills position me uniquely to be in this role. I stand for good government. I stand for effective government. I stand for collaboration. I've shown all of these things in my work history, and I encourage you to reach out to anybody who's worked with me and ask them, what am I like? What is Sanford like to work with? I think that the county executive needs to have a greater and far-thinking role in terms of planning and coordinating efforts across the county. I will be focused on local issues. I will be focused on making sure that we're doing everything we can, every day we can, to bring you the government you deserve. If there's anything that you take away from this forum, it's that I'm running to deliver you the effective, transparent government that you deserve. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. S., and thank you both for participating today in the Champaign County Executive Candidate Forum, a production of Illinois Public Media and in partnership with the League of Women Voters of Champaign County and the NAACP of Champaign County. This forum will air on WILL AM 580 and online at the Illinois Public Media YouTube channel, as well as the media platforms of the League of Women Voters of Champaign County and the NAACP. The primary election in Illinois is on March 17th. I'm IPM News Senior Editor Arjun Tucker, and thank you for watching.